Amen. Good morning on this almost 2026 Sunday. One more. You excited about a new year? I'm excited to see what the Lord's got for us in this new year, especially with everything that's going on in our world. And we're going to take a little bit of break this morning. We finished up 1 Timothy in the pastoral epistles, and we'll start 2 Timothy next week, get started on it. But I thought we'd take a little break this morning and look at the new year, look at this year, where we've been. Sometimes it's good to look back a little bit. You know, on Friday nights, we have a recovery program here at Worth Baptist Church. It's called Bridge to Recovery. And one of the things we try to teach the students in there, they're going through a lot of emotional things, and some are just coming out of some confinement and things like that. And the goal, to begin with, most of all, is to find out whether or not they're saved and to be able to give them the gospel and see that they're saved. But then the other part is to help them to grow, to teach them about God's word so they'll be able to handle things as they come back into society. And the first thing we want to teach them after we find out if they're saved is it's good to be able to look back, but it's not good to dwell on the past. Some of the things that they've gone through in their lives are because of things that happened in their past. It's good to be able to reflect and see the good things plus the things that weren't so good, but don't dwell on them because that can get you right back where you were. And the whole goal is to overcome their addictions and bad habits that they have. And I think that can apply to everybody. One of the things I learned immediately when I started working in Bridge to Recovery was that I had some addictions, little things, not any major thing, but things the Holy Spirit revealed to me really quickly. There's some things you need to work on, son. And so I had to take a step back and admit to some things and then begin to search things in God's word to help me to overcome those addictions. And thankfully, it wasn't major things, but still, I believe if everybody were honest, there's some little things in our lives that we need to work on from time to time. So this morning, I want us to look back just for a second at this year. It's going by really fast. Look at your outline there, and I always, every year, I don't make New Year's resolutions because I never kept them. Anybody like that? Anybody already made some New Year's resolutions? How many of them are you going to keep them for over a month? Okay, not many hands. That's the way I've always been. So instead, I change the word resolution, and I've set goals, and I think it's good to set some goals. The old hunter always said, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a target, if you don't shoot at a target, you're going to hit what? Nothing. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. We need to have a plan for this new year. We need to have some goals. Some may be long term, but some short time. Don't set goals that you can't reach. One of the things I realized as I was looking over this year, looking toward next year, is I failed in one of the goals that I set this year. And so I have to take a hard look at why I failed. Why didn't I meet that goal that I set? I always go back, personally, I go back to these three verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are goals that I set every year using these verses to hold myself accountable, not just to throw something out there and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do better at that. But every month I go back and read these same verses to see if I'm where I need to be. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, as we see in these verses, there are three directives from God concerning a Christian's life. Paul was giving these to Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica, and they apply to us today. There's these directives, if we apply them to our lives, we'll draw closer to the Lord. We'll be much more effective at living for Christ. 2025 is nearly over. Ask yourself these questions. Did I finish strong? Did I reach those goals that I set? Did I fulfill those resolutions? Are we closer to the Lord than we were at the beginning of 2025? My wife has a little verse. I can't remember that stuff they used to do where they'd stitch. What do they call it? Macrame? Cross stitching. Okay. And this little thing in there, it says, if you're not closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday, who moved? I think we can ask ourselves that. If I'm not closer to the Lord right now than I was at the beginning of last year, who moved? God didn't. He never changes. We know that. So we need to reflect. Am I where I'm supposed to be? Are there things that I need to work on for the new year? My answer is always yes. I learned a long time ago, if you don't want to know, don't ask the Holy Spirit, because He will tell you. And He's kind of like my wife in that respect. If you don't want to know, don't ask. Well, let's take these verses, and I want to break them down just a little bit. There are three directives there. The first one is rejoice evermore. Rejoice always, forever. That's what evermore means. What about rejoice? To be glad or cheerful. It's intense joy. To find delight in God's goodness and faithfulness, even in trials. An inner spiritual joy that stems from faith in Jesus Christ. It's very important to have that joy in our lives, to not allow Satan to take that joy away from us because of things we go through, circumstances or trials that we might go through. We still have to have that faith in the Lord. He's in control. He's going to take care of us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. But we need to hang our hat on that, not forget it. Nehemiah in chapter 8 tells us, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where we get our strength from. Joy in the Lord. Our faith in the Lord. How's your faith? How's your joy this morning? Have things gotten to the point where they're more important? We have to get past that. And then in our outline it says, it's a command. He's given us a command right here. He says, rejoice evermore. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. You know, sometimes we read in God's word and He gives us commands like that, and we just kind of gloss over them and take them for granted. He's serious about it. That's His will. Happiness and joy are many times confused. And I think that's something that we need to pay attention to. You know, happiness and joy are similar, but they are very different in a lot of ways. It says a non-Christian can experience happiness, but not the joy of the Lord. He can't, because he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't have that peace that God gives. Happiness depends on what happens. Happenstance. Depends on circumstances. Things that Satan throws out there at us to get us off track. And he says, oh, I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy about that. Happiness is an emotion. The good thing about joy is joy depends on our relationship with the Lord. Isn't it amazing how everything goes back to basics? It's not a situation that causes us to have joy. But happiness can get us in trouble if we're not careful. But you know, we can have joy through a trial, through sadness. Things happen to us that aren't exactly what we would want to call happy. But we still have the joy of the Lord in them. Then he says, pray without ceasing. Praying often and continually. Here again, that's something that we need to understand. Prayer is one of the most important things in our lives. What is it? Pray about everything, worry about nothing. There's nothing too large, nothing too small that we can't pray about it and give it to the Lord. And as I say a lot of times, you've heard me say this, one of the things that we need to learn to do is when something happens, when a circumstance comes up, when a trial comes up, it's not good always to sit there and weigh the pros and the cons and, hey, this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do that. When what we should do to begin with is just give it to the Lord first. As soon as it happens, and say, okay, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, guide me. What do I do here? How do I react? How do I act? But our old human flesh that we still deal with wants us to weigh the pros and cons. And a lot of times it just gets us off track. And if you're like me, sometimes I'll be going through something and I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. They're not wrong. But then all of a sudden I realize it's not working. Why didn't I just give it to the Lord to begin with? We have to train ourselves to do that. Some things God gives us automatically. Some things, a lot of things in my case, I have to train myself to do. I have to train myself to make sure that my prayer life is where it should be. I have to train myself to make sure that I spend time with God every day. After a while, it becomes a habit. That's a good addiction. There are bad habits and bad addictions. But we need to train ourselves and realize God gives us the blueprint. We need to follow it. Trying to put a swing set together without instructions. That's not too wise. You know, everything I used to put together, I would always have parts left over. And I'd say, how can this be? It works. But it doesn't work like it's supposed to when all the parts are put together. And it says continually, praying often and continually. There's a difference between continuously and continually. It's one of those things you learn in your English classes, the grammar and things like that, the difference between words. Continuously means nonstop. Okay, if I'm praying without ceasing and I'm doing it continuously, that means I wouldn't have anything else in my mind. Everything I would be doing would be nonstop praying. Boom, 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 boom. That would be nice, but our finite minds will not allow us to do that. Did you know that a bumblebee has a greater capacity to learn and to be able to hold their thought than a human being does? Now, I'm taking that for granted because there's some scientists that got paid millions of dollars to study that. Now, I don't know how they talk to the bumblebee, but statistics say our mind is very finite. As we get to be our age, like Ron, Brother Peoples, some of them go downhill faster than others. Okay? Mine's on a fast track. So I had to be very careful. But the word continually is the one we should be considering when we're talking about praying without ceasing. That means to be able to pray and then pause. To pray as the Holy Spirit brings things to our mind. Pray about it right then, right there. Don't wait till you get ready to go to bed at night to confess. Because you'll go to sleep and never do it. I trained myself to do that. And I'll give you just a for instance. I work nights, two or three nights a week. Not really work, but I get paid to do what I do. And I have a routine that I go through. A routine is what I've trained myself to do. When I get ready to leave, I get in my car. And as I back out, I automatically pray. Lord, please place a hedge about my house and my wife and my animals. Keep them safe through the night as I'm gone. I work midnight to 8. And then as I drive down the road, as soon as I get out of my driveway, I pray, Holy Spirit, please place a hedge about me as I drive. Keep me awake. Keep me alert. You know, keep my car running the way it's supposed to be. Then as I get to work, as soon as I get to work and I park and I'm walking in, I said, Lord, give me wisdom tonight. My job is to guard prisoners from the local prison across the road. When they bring them to the hospital, they release them to my company, and we guard them until they're dismissed from the hospital. There are rules that I have to go by. I can't witness to them on the job. I have certain orders only that I can do. I'm not supposed to reveal to them anything about my background, anything like that. So our conversation has to be strictly job related. But if they ask me something, I take the opportunity to give them the gospel. So I always pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness to this inmate. And Lord, help me to treat the personnel, the nurses, the techs, and everything with the respect that they need. So I've trained myself to do all these things, and that's the way we need to train ourselves in a lot of areas in our lives, about praying without ceasing. As the Holy Spirit brings it to our mind, that's when we pray about it. Not later. There might be a pause when I'm at work and I have to deal with a doctor or I have to deal with an inmate. I have to remind them, say, this is not the Holiday Inn. These people are not your servants here. You do exactly what they tell you to do when they tell you to do it. Most people are so happy to be with a real doctor, they are excited about being in the hospital. But I have to go by those rules. And do I break the rules? As a rule, no. But as the Lord gives me the opportunity to witness, I will do that. And yes, I have been reprimanded, okay? And so I'm very careful about it. But we train ourselves to do things like that. We train ourselves to pray without ceasing. It's not every second. It's not nonstop. But it is continually. Pray regularly throughout the day. We need to have an appointed time when we sit down, get alone, or get to a situation where we can pray without being interrupted. That's our prayer time. That's our time in our quote-unquote prayer closet. But we need to schedule that. We need to make sure that we do it. Pray often. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. You know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I've got it right here. I want to read it to you. It's a familiar verse. You could quote it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What Paul is doing right here is he's telling them, he said, turn your worries into prayers. Worrying's got to be one of the worst things that you can get in the habit of doing. That's a habit that's not a good habit. And some people are addicted to worrying. It's not good. He's saying, turn your worries into prayer. Don't worry. Give it to the Lord. That's what he said to do. We need to take what he gives us, the promises that he gives them, and apply them to our lives. Not just read them, gloss over them, but actually apply them. And that's what he's saying in those verses right there. Don't worry. Give it to me. Let me do the worrying. Because we know he's not going to worry. He's going to handle the situation. And it takes that burden off of us. That's part of praying without ceasing. Don't get caught up in worrying. Don't be a worrywart. Praying without ceasing is an ongoing communication with the Lord. Ongoing. Continually ongoing. It's something that should be a part of our day all day long. But there again, we have to train ourselves to do that. I have a little thing that I put on my phone. Every 2 hours, my phone goes ding, 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 ding. And it's to remind me, where is my mind? I have 8 hours that I can do certain things while I'm at work. I have that reminder on my phone to say, wait, where's your thought? What are you thinking about? What are you doing? Is this productive? What you're doing, what you're thinking, is it, does it glorify the Lord? Say, oh, Brother Joe, Jay, what are you trying to be, some holy Joe? No. I'm trying to have that peace that only God gives. That peace that allows me to not worry about everything, not get caught up in the world or the culture that I'm around or the things that are going on around me, but to keep my thoughts on things above. It's another thing that God gives us. He wants us to keep our thoughts on things above, pure things. If we're not careful, we let things we hear, things we see, often things we listen to and watch, corrupt our mind. We want to stay away from that. You know, and I think sometimes we take too lightly. God could have taken us straight to heaven, couldn't he, the moment he saved us? But he left us here for a purpose. Our purpose is basically twofold. It's to give the gospel so that others might be able to be saved. Don't be lazy. God did that for you. He wants to do it for everybody. And then the second one is to become more like Jesus. Romans 8:28 is true. He allows us to go through things. He causes us to go through some things. Sometimes we need some reminding. Sometimes we might just need a spank on the hand. And he says, we know that all things work together for good. And they do, according to God's purpose. But if we're going to spend time in God's word, and if we're going to be the Christian that we need to be, we need to be striving to be more like Jesus. We have the perfect example. He was perfect. All we have to do is follow his guidelines. He's given us his revealed will right here. So we know there are things we're supposed to be doing them if we want to become more like Jesus. I often, when I'm teaching in my class on Friday night, one of the things I remind the people who are dealing with their addiction, and their lives are messed up and broken. They want to see their life turn out better. They want to have a good life, have relationships restored, have that peace that God gives. But it all boils down to one thing, and I always tell them this. How badly do you want to see your life straightened out? A lot of it's up to you. The whole program is goal-oriented. First goal, as I said, to see them saved. Second goal, to draw them close to the Lord. Get them in the Word and allow God to change their heart. Only God truly changes people's hearts. You know, we can change a lot of things outwardly, but change comes from within and God changes. How badly do they want to see a change in their life, to have it restored? But we need to ask ourselves the same question. If I want to be more like Jesus, to what lengths am I willing to go to become more like Jesus? Am I willing to spend time in God's Word? Am I willing to have a ministry as Jesus had? What was his whole ministry? It was to others. It was nothing about himself. If he's our example, if he's our guideline, if he's our pattern, then our Christian lives should be about others. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to do the things we're supposed to. But it should be about others. How badly do I want to be more like Jesus every day? It's a sobering thought, because it's so easy to get caught up in culture. It's so easy to get caught up in the world. So easy to get caught up in emotions, feelings. We have to be careful about emotions and feelings, don't we? But that's what it boils down to. Do I really want to be more like Jesus? It takes an ongoing communication. It takes a conversation with God. Spending time in God's Word. He speaks to us through his Word. We speak to him through prayer. But then that last little thing there in D, it says, also involves listening to the Holy Spirit. listening to what God tells us in His Word, listening to how He responds to our prayer request, being able to listen and then apply. We have to be able to listen before we can apply. So praying without ceasing involves quite a few different things there. Then the last thing he says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Everything's a big word. It encompasses a lot of things, doesn't it? Everything. He's talking about, Paul's talking here, he says, not just give thanks for the difficulties that you're going through. He's really challenging the people at Thessalonica there to be thankful in any and every circumstance they deal with in life. And we have to break that down a little further there. Not give thanks for everything. Look back at what it says. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. We don't have to give thanks for being sick. But we can be thankful for the doctors, the medicines that they provide. We don't have to be thankful when we lose a job, our job gets cut out, or we go through family trials and things like that. But we can be thankful that as we go through them, God's right there with us. You know, having the Holy Spirit live with us, within us, is, I think, the most awesome thing in the world. We have God living in us. Imagine that. He's right there. We go have a trial come up, He's right there with us. He doesn't say, I'll meet you on the other side when this gets resolved. He goes right through the trial, right through the circumstance, right through the good things, right through the not so good things with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We can't take that for granted. That is a peace. Oh man, that's such an awesome thing to realize that and to know that at any moment He's right there with us and we can go to Him right then. Lord, I need your help right now. I need more strength right now, Lord. Give me the courage to go through this time, to go through this trial. I know you love me, Lord, and I know you want to be right here with me. Right now, I need you. He's there. He's listening. He's always with us. So we don't have to just give thanks for everything, but we need to give thanks in everything because He's there with us. We need to learn to trust Him in every situation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Here I am, Lord. It's Jay again. Going through the same thing that I said I wasn't going to go through again, Lord. I've let this old flesh drag me right back here. Lord, I need your help. I need your forgiveness again. He's right there. We've got to trust Him in every situation. We are not, remember this, in John 15, last part of 15:5, I think it is, the last four or five words, it says, without me, you can do nothing. That's a true statement. Without the Lord, we can't survive trials and circumstances. We can't make it on our own. We're not strong enough. That's why He's there. That's why He's there within us to give us that strength to go on, to make right decisions in bad situations. He's always there for advice. And then to help us to grow more, to be more like Jesus. That's what we get when we persevere, when we keep on keeping on, when we don't get discouraged. No matter what the trial, what the situation, He's got the answer. We need to depend on Him. And that last statement there, In this scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us how to give thanks in everything. This is application. He says it's simple. In Christ Jesus. It's only possible to be thankful to God in everything if you have a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are in Christ. It's only He who gives the ability to do what He commands. Trust Him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Not on my own, not by myself. Through Christ, which strengthened me. We need to trust God no matter what the situation. We belong to the Lord once we get saved. We need to accept, proclaim, claim all His promises and allow Him to live through us. Put the burden on Him, that's what He wants, and then listen and allow Him to guide us and direct us. You know, it's a good practice. I train myself every morning to get up and say, Lord, thank You for another day. I want to totally yield to You today. I want to die to self. Holy Spirit, I want You to guide my thoughts, my actions. And Holy Spirit, when I don't listen, please don't give up on me. I'm still dealing with this old hard head, this old flesh. I need You. I want You to be my leader today. Lord, I love You. I want to love You more every single day. But Lord, I'm a needy person. I need Your help today. I need You. So I hope you'll make some goals, set some goals for this year. You can call them resolutions if you want to. I don't like resolutions because I give up on them too quick. Set some goals and then periodically step back. Ladies, when you're curling those eyelashes or you're putting that makeup on in front of the mirror, and guys, when you shave, look in that mirror and say, Lord, when You look at me, what do You see? And the Holy Spirit will immediately give you the answer. He'll let you know right off the bat if there's some things in your life you need to change. We need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to change as God gives us the opportunity, which He always does. Set some goals. Let's pray. Father, we thank You once again just for loving us, for the plan of salvation that's free to everybody. Thank You for giving us Your word. Thank You for giving us a good church home. Thank You for the opportunity to come together and worship. Thank You for giving us a country where we can still worship outwardly. We can still give the gospel at will. We pray that You would give us opportunities this week to witness. Help us not to pass them up. Help us to set some goals. To set the goals that the Holy Spirit would guide us to do. And then help us to follow through. Help us to guard our relationship, our fellowship with Jesus. Help us to learn to be willing to serve others. Bless our time in the coming service. Bless Brother Reichman as he preaches, Lord. Give him power from on high. And help us to remember there's something in the message that we need to hear, something that we need to apply to our lives. Help us to be willing to listen and then to apply it, that we can be better, stronger Christians, love You more, live a better Christian life for You. And we thank You and praise You and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.